Rubel, brother. Burden, J.A. Evans. St. Helena, California, May 7th, 1911. Brethren Rubel, Burden, and Evans. Loma Linda, California. Dear brethren, I have words of instruction for you and your co-workers who are ministers and physicians and counselors at Loma Linda. During my visit to Southern California, light was given me that many of the leaders in our sanitariums were failing of meeting the requirements of God, and, more than this, they did not realize their lack. I was instructed that those who stand in positions of responsibility in these important institutions are engaged in a most sacred work, that they have little time in which to do the work committed to their trust, and that it was of the utmost importance that faithfulness and consecration mark their efforts in every line. In a remarkable way, God has brought into our possession some of the institutions through whose agency we are to accomplish the work of reformation to which, as a people, we are called. At this time, every talent of every worker should be regarded as a sacred trust to be used in extending the work of reform. The Lord instructed me that our sisters who have received a training that has fitted them for positions of responsibility are to serve with faithfulness and discernment in their calling, using their influence wisely and, with their brethren in the faith, obtaining an experience that will fit them for still greater usefulness. The instruction of the Apostle Peter, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge," 2 Peter 1 verse 5, they are to bring into their individual experience, and this work of daily sanctification through cooperation with the Spirit of God will develop their knowledge and capabilities. In ancient times, the Lord worked in a wonderful way through consecrated women who united in his work with men whom he had chosen to stand as his representatives. He used women to gain great and decisive victories. More than once, in times of emergency, he brought them to the front and worked through them for the salvation of many lives. Through Esther the Queen, the Lord accomplished a mighty deliverance for his people. At a time when it seemed that no power could save them, Esther and the women associated with her, by fasting and prayer and prompt action, met the issue and brought salvation to their people. A study of women's work in connection with the cause of God in Old Testament times will teach us lessons that will enable us to meet emergencies in the work today. We may not be brought into such a critical and prominent place as were the people of God in the time of Esther, but often converted women can act an important part in more humble positions. This many have been doing, and are still ready to do. It is a woman's duty to unite with her husband in the disciplining and training of her sons and daughters, that they may be converted and their powers consecrated to the service of God. There are many who have ability to stand with their husbands in sanitarium work, to give treatments to the sick, and to speak words of counsel and encouragement to others. There are those who should seek an education that will fit them to act the part of physicians. In this line of service, a positive work needs to be done. Women as well as men are to receive a thorough medical training. They should make a special study of the diseases common to women, that they may understand how to treat them. It is considered most essential that men desiring to practice medicine shall receive the broad training necessary for the following of such a profession. It is just as essential that women receive such training and obtain their diplomas, certifying their right to act as physicians. Our institutions should be especially thorough in giving to women a training that will fit them to act as midwives. There should be in our sanitariums lady physicians who understand well their profession and who can attend women at the time of childbirth. Light has been given me that women instead of men should take the responsibility in such cases. I was directed to the Bible plan, in which at such times women acted the part of the physician. This plan should be carried out by us, for it is the Lord's plan. Again and again, light has been given me that women should be chosen and educated for this line of work. Now the time has come when we should face the matter clearly. More women should be educated for this work, and thus a door of temptation may be closed. We should allow no unnecessary temptation to be placed in the way of physicians and nurses or the people for whom they minister. The Lord has greatly favored us in providing suitable buildings at Loma Linda for the carrying forward of the work as it should be carried. Let us be in earnest in following the counsel we have received.
I have been instructed to say to our leading sanitarium workers throughout our ranks, the work must move forward on a higher plane, and after a more sacred order than it has heretofore, if it is to accomplish all that God designs, should be accomplished by it in our churches and for the world. We need to pray and to consider earnestly what is the great spiritual need of men and women in this age. Strange things are being done which are not after the Lord's counsel, but after the devising of men. As wicked practices increase among those who are determined to do wickedly, there is great need that our people bring into prominence before the world a pure, untainted work. The Lord says to us, "Be ye clean that labor in the health institutions." Work under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Let the men holding positions of sacred trust view the work from a high standpoint. I ask you who stand as leaders in this work to read prayerfully chapters 4 to 11 of the book of Deuteronomy, for there is instruction that all need who would understand God's dealings with his people. And I wish to impress upon all who read these chapters that they mean much to every soul who carries responsibilities in connection with sanitarium work. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, the Lord declares. And the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all nations that are upon the earth. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. All the directions he has given are to be carefully observed, from the greatest to that which may seem the least. The Lord says to all, "Purify your souls from all commonness. Set before your children and households an example in word and deportment that will lead them to desire above all things to render to God consecrated, loving service. Pray for your home. Instruct your family. Sanctify the Lord God of Israel in your hearts and in your lives. I am deeply pained as I see with some a spirit of carelessness in speech and deportment. This is a hindrance to spirituality. The Lord declared to Israel, "What doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day." Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 to 15. Read these words thoughtfully, and consider how great are the privileges of the people whom the Lord chose to serve him. To all connected with sacred duties, I am charged to say, seek the Lord. Take heed to your conversations. Lay off all cheapness of speech, for the Lord would have you become intelligent workers and wise counselors. Let those with whom you associate see nothing of frivolity in your words and works. You have the knowledge of sacred truth, and you are to honor those truths as men and women who must give an account for the talents entrusted to them. God would have his honor exalted before men as supreme, and his counsels confirmed in the eyes of the people. The witness of the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel gives the example of one who stood holy for God and his work in the earth. The prophet calls the Lord by his name, Jehovah God, which he himself had given to denote his condescension and compassion. Elijah calls him the God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel. He does this that he may excite in the hearts of his backslidden people humble remembrance of the Lord and assure them of his rich, free grace. Elijah prays, "Be it known this day that thou art the God of Israel." The honor of God is to be exalted as supreme. But the prophet asks further that his mission also may be confirmed. "Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel," he prays, "and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord," he pleads. "Hear me." 1 Kings 18, verse 36, 37. Elijah was intense. As he prayed, the silence of death seemed to be about him. As the Amen was spoken, lo, the fire of heaven descended on the sacrifice in the sight of the multitude. The people were wonderfully affected by the scene. At the manifestation of God's power, they fell on their faces on the earth and extolled the God of Abraham and gave glory to the God of Israel. With a loud voice they shouted, "The Lord, He is the God! The Lord, He is the God!" Verse 39.
But while the people acknowledged the God of heaven, the priests, with hardened hearts, refused to be convinced. They would remain still the prophets of Baal. Thus they showed themselves ripe for destruction. And Elijah said to the people, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." Verse 40. The time had come when delusion was unveiled. The people saw the awful deception that had been practiced upon them by the false prophets, and when the word was spoken, they fell upon the prophets, brought them down to the brook Kishon, and took part in their slaughter. Thus was Elijah's faith crowned with victory, the priests of Baal put to shame, and the worshippers of false gods confounded. Elijah's whole life was devoted to the work of reform. He was a voice crying in the wilderness to rebuke sin and press back the tide of moral evil. And while he came to the people as a reprover of sin, his message offered the balm of Gilead for the sin-sick souls of all who would be healed. His zeal for God's glory and his deep love for the house of Israel present lessons for the instruction of all who stand today as representatives of God's work in the earth. Let the conductors of our institutional work catch the spirit of zeal felt by Elijah and learn its intensity. Let them seek for the grace of God that will give them an experience in advance of that which they have heretofore enjoyed. Let them love the work of God and pray for its advancement in the world. The following is my talk at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. A Deeper Concentration. Last night I seemed to be in a meeting where there were present leading men who were asking questions concerning the sanitarium work, and I had many things to say to them regarding the sacredness of this work. I told them that the Lord desired us to consecrate ourselves unreservedly to Him, and that in this work everything like lightness and trifling was out of place, because we are preparing for the serious events that will come in the future. I was deeply in earnest in telling them that they were to take their position decidedly to maintain a high standard as men and women who were preparing for victory. In the future, many trying experiences will arise, and we must be ready to meet them. I told them that the enemy would seek to introduce a cheap experience among the leading workers in our sanitariums, but that the Lord would greatly help all who will depend upon God to work with them. If we will take our position firmly for the right, there will be a mold placed upon this sanitarium that is according to the divine plan, a mold that will be seen in every leader, every physician, and every minister connected with the institution. The men who are holding important positions must bear in mind that there will come here those who know little of our experience as a people, and it is important that they should be favorably impressed with what they see and hear. It means much if the impressions made upon patients and carried by them to other places are of a character to build up and strengthen our work. If this is to be accomplished, those who bear responsibilities here must, in character and deportment, properly represent the solemn, sacred work with which they are connected. All should realize that the work must stand on a higher plane. Let no cheapness in conversation be indulged in, but let all realize that God requires solemnity in all who stand in this work. This is a testimony similar to that I have borne in many places where carelessness in words and spirit have been manifest, revealing a low spiritual standard. God wants to work through ministers, through physicians, and through all connected with sanitarium work, and there will be a great work done here when all cheapness and frivolity are put away. In a marvelous way, God has worked to give us this and other similar institutions, but it is represented to me that these institutions are not reaching the high standard that God requires them to reach. The workers cannot attain this of themselves, but God can give them the right mold of character if they feel the necessity of looking to Him and holding fast to His promises. The message borne to us by the Apostle Peter is, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 1, verse 5-8. Our sanitarium workers are required of God to stand on higher ground. They need to cultivate kindness and tenderness of heart. They need a strong determination and faith in Christ. This it is their privilege to have, and this is their eternal safety. The promise to them is, "If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Verses 10-11. These words were repeated 3 times. It is your eternal life insurance policy. If the workers will take hold of the faith of Christ and in humbleness of mind seek daily to bring into the life, into the words and actions, the sanctification imparted by the Spirit of God, they shall never fall. And this experience manifested in the life of the workers will make upon the minds of those who come into the institution impressions for good, which will be carried away with them. The light of heaven will come in, and it will shine into the hearts and minds of unbelievers, making impressions that will be a lasting influence for good in their lives. In the many places where I go to visit our health institutions, this instruction is repeated to me, because our workers need to climb higher. We are satisfied with too low a standard in spiritual things. We must learn to work away from this low standard. The promise is, "If ye do these things, if you work on the plan of adding grace to grace, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord." Verses 10-11. The workers need to encourage the presence of the Spirit of God in their hearts and minds. Then He will be manifest in the speech. Then the angels of God can connect with them, and lasting impressions for good will be made. It is impossible for the human agent, unaided, to make the desired impression, but Christ will do this. He will work with those who will work with Him. The company to whom I was talking last night was larger than this one. In my words to them, I sought to impress them with the truth that the Lord will give His help to all who will consecrate themselves to Him. I told them of the plan of addition, by which, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the children of God will grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. If we will faithfully follow this plan,
the angels of heaven will draw near and will sanction our efforts. The words of every worker connected with the Paradise Valley Sanitarium should be such that the Spirit of God can impress them upon human minds, their works such that the light of heaven will be reflected in their efforts. Then when these workers go to other institutions, whether for service or only for a visit, they will be ready to speak helpful words to those whom they meet. Constantly they will bring into their speech the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit, and, working on the plan of addition, will add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, the apostle declares, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. We have little time left in which to perfect the character that God is looking for in his people. Let us make the very best use of our opportunities and capabilities. Let us pledge before God and before our brethren that we will be faithful in the use of our opportunities to do good, and in the use of our words, that the Holy Spirit may work through us to make right impressions upon human minds. God will help all who will make an effort to purify themselves through obedience to the truth. At every institution where I go, I testify that the Lord would have his workers reach a higher standard. It is his will that the Holy Spirit should indict our words and give us speech that will impress hearts with the truth of God. It should be our aim to help all within our reach who need help. There are many in our sanitariums who have never enjoyed the privilege that the helpers have had. Let all see that you are attaining to a high standard of Christian experience. Let them see that you refuse to indulge in careless and trifling words. The sick are here. Pray for them. God can do great things for the sick, believers and unbelievers, through the ministry and prayers of consecrated helpers.
What we need in our institutions is deeper consecration, a determination to choose always the upward path. God has brought into our lives rich experiences, and he wants us continually to gain precious victories. We must work in harmony with the Spirit of God. It is our privilege to stand, as the angel represented it to me, on a higher platform, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lifting ourselves up unto God. It is the privilege of physicians and nurses, and the workers in every department, to make impressions of a spiritual nature on the minds and hearts of those to whom they are called to minister. The men and women who care for the sick in our institutions need to keep their minds pure and uplifted. My brethren and sisters, I believe that you will grasp the promises of God, and that you will be able to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. The angels of God will surely work in every institution where there is an earnest resolve on the part of the workers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. This determination will bring overcoming power, whatever may be your temperament. And as you seek to walk in the way of the Lord, that your influence on other lives may be uplifting, the Holy Spirit, in your own life, will make you the most blessed of mortals. This is all that I need to say to you now. We have a good place here. The Lord brought it into our hands. Let us regard it as a gift that is to be used to the very best account. If we do this, the Spirit of God will work with us, and we shall receive more and more light as we follow on to know the Lord, whose going forth is prepared as the morning. You have seen the going forth of the sun in the early morning. Its light grows a little stronger, a little brighter in the heavens, until there is seen the full light of day. So your experience is to grow. Then the visitors and patients who come to this institution will see that the Spirit of God is indicting your words and actions, and an excellent work will be done for God. I cannot at this time give you all the instruction that I received last night, but I will try to write in regard to it later. Once more, I would say to you, make every possible effort to overcome those defects of character that prevent you from reaching the highest standard. Seek for the cooperation of the Spirit of God in your lives, that right impressions may be made on those not of our faith. Let the grace of God come into your hearts, that you may have the help of a power above yourselves. Thus you will be fitting yourselves for the future immortal life. The Lord will surely work with all who will work with Him, and who will daily seek to exert an influence that will lead souls to Christ.